Strange Days Indeed continues with Errol Bruce Knapp on UFO News Radio, CFRB 1010.
Program 240 of these Strange Days Indeed. In studio with me, Ian Rogers, Bobby Rowley, Scott from Brampton, and out there in the control room, Dean Gwilandi, and our line producer, Chris Ball. We make our way south of the border now. Our feature guest tonight, I hadn't become aware of until literally just a few weeks ago when his name came up during the course of discussion on the UFO Updates email list. And with a link to a website, which I went and read, and there's some pretty remarkable stories there, reports that have happened to Stan Romanek. Is it Romanek or Romanek, Stan?
Romanek's correct.
The voice of our guest for the next while on this program, Stan Romanek. Where is it that you live, Stan?
Well, I'm originally from Colorado, but I'm living in Nebraska right now.
Okay. It's quite an adventure you've had in the last 2 years. Started in December of 2000. What were you doing up until December?
I was in management, corporate management, stuff like that. Actually, I had been dating somebody, believe it or not, who I had met over the internet. And she lived in Nebraska, and I lived in Colorado, and I wanted her to come to Colorado.
And she won.
Well, she did win, but she came to Colorado eventually. She definitely won. I'm now married to this wonderful person.
So. Oh, good. That's a nice story. Some of the internet stories you hear don't end up nicely, but that's a good one. So there you are in management, and presumably not the least bit interested in unidentified flying objects, huh?
Not at all.
In fact, if somebody had said to you, what do you think about UFOs, what would you have said?
I probably would have made fun of them and then laughed and then went on about my business.
And you were going on about your business right up until December 2000?
Exactly.
And then what happened?
Well, as I said, I was trying to get my girlfriend at the time to come visit me in Colorado, and I thought it would be a good idea. Take my video camera and go videotape the mountains. And I decided to go up to a place called Red Rocks Amphitheater. It's fairly popular up there for all the groups, music groups, to go play at this spot. It's kind of an open theater, beautiful mountains all around it. And I was on my way up there, and I noticed some cars had pulled over, and some cars were slowing down real slow. And I didn't know if there was an accident or what, but I noticed that they were looking up off to the side of me. It would have been to my left. And when I looked to see what they were looking at, I was shocked and amazed. I thought at first it was some kind of bizarre hot air balloon that was about to crash into the power lines, because it was about 20 feet above the power lines off to my left. And then I realized it wasn't a hot air balloon. It was actually metallic. And it was about the size, if not bigger than my van, rounded on top. It had six balls around the bottom. And the balls were actually rotating counterclockwise around the bottom. And I was shocked and amazed and actually quite scared.
Yeah.
I almost crashed the van. And I tried to actually speed away, and it seemed to keep pace with my van. And then at that point, I realized I had my video camera with me. And I pulled over, rolled down my window, and decided to try to take a shot. And right at that moment, the thing just kind of accelerated away and stopped at, I'm guessing, probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 feet, and just stopped there and hovered. And I got a lot of it on videotape.
We're looking at some of the stills, or a still from that video that you shot that day. And for those of our listeners who are connected, if you go to tonight's program listing and click the word experiences there, that'll take you to the website where Stan's story is. Just the freeze frame, it almost looks like a head, this aluminum, shiny metallic-looking object with, as you say, six balls around the bottom of it. I guess you were pretty spooked.
I was. I was very scared. And, you know, it would have been fine with me if that was, you know, all that happened. But since then, my life has literally been a nightmare.
So this thing moved away from you and hovered for a while.
And just kind of hung out for a while, and then just eventually corkscrewed away. There were lots of other witnesses there. The interesting part of it, I went down after the thing went away, and I just pretty much ran out of tape. There was a little park down the road, and I pulled over because there was a bunch of people down there, and they had seen this thing also. And about 10 minutes after I got there, a gentleman noticed two fighter jets flying the same direction the object went.
And you got the feeling that they were chasing this thing?
Oh, I'm positive they were. Everybody else had that feeling, too.
Did you, by any chance, exchange names and telephone numbers with these other witnesses?
At that point, I didn't. I was so amazed and kind of terrified, and I gave them all my phone number, and I didn't hear a word from them, but I got involved with MUFON later, and they actually found some of the witnesses.
The Mutual UFO Network.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You were shaken up. You left the parking lot and headed home?
You know, I went straight home. Yeah, I was pretty amazed. You know, I let all my friends know. I was real excited, and then the weird stuff started happening.
An interesting Christmas present, in fact, huh?
Oh, you bet.
A scary Christmas present. So that was December 27th. What was the next thing that happened?
Well, being as skeptical as I was, I thought it was some kind of military experiment. For all I know, even now, it could be some kind of bizarre military thing, but with all the other stuff that happened, it's kind of highly doubtful. It seemed whatever it was that I came close to, I might have come in contact with an energy field, a propulsion system. Nobody really knows. There's a lot of scientists that are trying to figure it out, too. But it seemed to have had affected my van. It seemed to have affected me personally.
That was immediately after the December 27th sighting?
Exactly. And I'd never hit an animal in my life with my car or any other way, shape, or form. I don't even like killing spiders, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly I noticed I was hitting birds. They'd just run into my van. I was sitting at my desk close to a window looking out the window, and a bird flew into the window. And pretty soon I hit another bird, and pretty soon it ended up being about 48 birds altogether in a short amount of time.
This was mostly with your van, huh?
Van, or I could be, near a window, or, one time a bird swooped toward me. I stepped out of the way and it just kind of fluttered past. And I don't know what effect that had on the birds, if any. I don't know if it was anything that happened to me or just one of the strange occurrences that happens.
Is this still happening now?
It actually stopped as of September 30th, 2001. And there was an incident that might have caused that to stop, I'm thinking.
So December 27th, and then you started having the oddities happen with only birds?
Yeah, birds. And my car would act really weird. Sometimes it would stall. Sometimes the horn would go off, and the lights would go on and off, and the windshield wipers would go nuts.
And no explanation from
it? No explanation. There were tons of witnesses. I wouldn't have said anything about anything that happened if it weren't for all the witnesses that were around me. They kind of coerced me into doing it, so I, kind of went along with it. I was, again, being a skeptic. I was trying to find all kinds of reasons why what I saw was something else other than what it really was. And, the reality hit me pretty hard after the next major experience I had. I think that's when I decided to finally try to get a hold of somebody. And I actually contacted UFO Reporting Center, Peter Davenport. And let me tell you, he was great. He kind of helped me through the whole thing and got in touch with other people who eventually got me to MUFON and so on and so forth. It's been definitely very interesting. The next occurrence I had, and I'm going to call it that because I can't call it really anything else, I was on my way from Pennsylvania. I had some business to take care of in Pennsylvania, and I was with my girlfriend / fiance at the time, the one from Nebraska, and this was September 1st, 2001. September 2001 was a big month for the scary stuff to happen. We were actually coming from Nebraska down Interstate 80, and just really beautiful day. My fiance noticed, some planes up in the sky, and then she noticed one particular plane that really wasn't moving or didn't have a contrail. Most planes go through the sky and you see a contrail. This one did not. And she got the binoculars out, and next thing we knew, she was screaming, "Oh, my God, it's not a plane." So a bunch of us were watching this big disc kind of popping it out of the clouds. It actually kind of preceded us or stalked us, I don't know what you call it, through 2.5 states, and then finally disappeared.
2.5 states.
That's correct.
So that would have been, a couple of hours?
Yeah, at least.
Mm.
We were pretty excited. my fiance at the time, now she's my wife, was as skeptical as I was when it came to UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
But it followed us through Ohio, Indiana, and part of Illinois.
And then it just went on its way?
It just went away.
And were there any physical results of that lengthy experience?
No, it was way up by the clouds. We could tell what it was just because we had binoculars. We got a little bit of it on video camera, but not much. When you're doing about 80 miles an hour down the interstate, it's kind of hard, video camera with autofocus, to fix itself on anything.
Did that get you spooked all over again?
It did. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was kind of closing my eyes, saying to myself, go away, go away, this can't be real, go away, go away.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually did go away, but it didn't stay away.
It didn't.
Well, that particular one did. But trying to keep this in chronological order.
Yeah, I was about to say the first one was December 2000, and this one was...
September 2001.
So you had a long gap of, what, almost 10 months between the first and second?
I did. Then there were, I think, four others that were in the same month. The next big one was September 20th. I was actually at my work. I was managing a bicycle store, of all things. Some customers came running in screaming, there's something floating above my work. And I went outside to look, and there was a huge blinking orb sphere. I don't know what you call it. But it was probably about 1,000 feet straight above my work and just kind of floating there. And then I got really scared. I mean, I was visibly shaking. I almost threw up on the, in the parking lot because I started wondering if there was some kind of connection or... So what ran through my mind is somebody must be playing some kind of elaborate joke on me because I couldn't understand or conceive of what, you know, was really going on. And at that point, MUFON hadn't really gotten involved yet, but UFO Reporting Center had, and he started getting just mass quantities of witnesses coming in about all these UFOs that seemed to be around me.
So he was getting corroborating reports from people who had seen the same things that you had.
Oh, you bet. In any case, I quickly closed down the store because I wanted to go home and I was scared. And everybody had left, so I closed down the store. The thing eventually just kind of floated off to the northeast. Then I went home, and on my way home, damned if the thing wasn't off in the distance, and it looked like it was going towards where I lived. I got home, it was just kind of there, and I ran upstairs. My sister and my friend Mark were there and got my video camera, and we all went outside and watched it, and I got a little bit of it on the video camera.
So family saw it now.
Oh, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets even better. This red and green flashing orb thing seems to play a part in most of my experiences. That night I actually had a dream, a really bizarre dream, that people came to my door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was staying with my sister. My sister was recovering from cancer, so I was helping her out. And she'd actually let these people in this dream I had, and I thought they were in costume, and it turned out they weren't in costume, according to my dream. And that would have been fine, except the fact that in the morning I woke up and I had deep scoop marks in my back and all the hair rubbed off my wrists, and I had all these wounds, open wounds all over me. And the weird thing about it was, is I didn't notice them because they didn't hurt. They had no pain whatsoever. And so they eventually healed and kind of blew it off. And, you know, maybe it was my wristwatch or maybe there was a spring in the bed. I'm not sure. But I tried to kind of explain in my own terms what was going on, and it just got weirder and weirder.
Did your sister have any awareness of perhaps participating in your dream?
Oddly enough, she dreamt about three people coming to the door too. We were up in an upstairs apartment, and she dreamt that they came through the balcony and they were wearing pinstripe suits. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't tell her my dream because I was just, you know, I didn't want anybody to think I was crazy. And she actually corroborated it with somebody else. And they told me about it. I already had told them about my dream, and then we got together. It's like, oh my goodness, what the hell's going on?
So you wake up the next morning after both you and your sister have had this dream, and you have scoop marks on your back, wounds on your hands, around your wrists?
Yes, that's correct.
And you said something about hair being scraped away?
All the hair around my wrists. was completely scraped away. The way MUFON explained it, and the way the doctors explained it, it's like if somebody had real tight ropes or some kind of restraints around their wrists and they were trying to get away. That's, I guess, what it looked like.
No aches or pains in muscles?
Nothing.
Did you go and see a doctor as a result of that, Stan?
I was actually too afraid to. You know, what am I going to tell a doctor? Gee, I woke up and I have all these strange marks.
Yeah.
They want them to put me away, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Actually, that question came from Wendy Connors via email down there in Albuquerque. Wendy's a regular contributor to this program and listens really regularly, too, and it's good to have her out there. And you can get in touch with us here at SDI at virtuallystrange.net. SDI as in Strange Days Indeed at virtuallystrange.net. And Scott in studio here has a question for you, Stan.
Sure.
Yes, you were saying earlier that you had several birds flew into your van and got killed.
Exactly.
Were any tests done on your van at that point in time?
I took my van in because it was acting weird, just a mechanic. At that point, I hadn't really got involved with anybody to tell me what was going on. I hadn't gotten involved with MUFON yet. The only thing that was wrong with my van was a computer chip that controls the heater or something. Actually had been fried together.
Fused, huh?
Fused, which they thought was rather unusual.
I don't know what the weather's like down there. Presumably it's pretty damn cold and there's lots of snow, right?
In December in Colorado, yeah.
Yes. This all happened right after that December 27 sighting, so you had reason to discover that your heater wasn't working, I
guess. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't right after that.
And it had worked right up until that moment?
Up until that moment, you bet. Oddly enough, too, I had the date on my video camera set. And after that incident, the date on my video camera was forward a year and back a month. And we didn't notice this. Actually, somebody from MUFON pointed it out. Hey, your camera's wrong. And all the next video that I took off that same camera, the date was forward a year and back a month, which was rather unusual.
So it was back a year and...
No, forward a year. Let's say it's 2001 when I took the video. It would say 2002 and then back 1 month.
Did anything happen in that month in 2002?
Actually, yeah. One thing did, and I'll try to keep everything in order.
Okay, we'll come back to that, but it was just suddenly occurred to me to ask you that.
Yeah, somebody else mentioned that too, and sure enough, I'll be darned if it didn't happen.
Okay, you wake up in the morning, you've got all of these marks and gouges and scoop marks on your body, and the hair has been worn off as if you've had restraints around your wrists, you said, yes?
Exactly. But, you know, they didn't hurt. And the people at MUFON, there are some brilliant people there. I ended up working with a gentleman who's International Director of Investigations for MUFON, George Zeiler, and he thought it'd be a good idea to see what these wounds looked like. It had been some time. They healed really fast, by the way. Within like a week, they were completely healed, except for some little scarring. And so MUFON put my skin under black light, and those areas fluoresced. This day glow yellow and orangish color.
And how long after this event did you get your skin under fluorescent
black
lights?
Well, it lasted for months and months and months, almost a year. And we tried scrubbing it off. I used a Brillo pad. I even tried alcohol, everything. It was beneath my skin.
Did MUFON say what that might mean?
They've seen it before in cattle mutilations and some other abduction cases, they told me.
That there might be some sort of trace substance maybe left over after the experience?
There was, and, you know, it's all speculation because, unfortunately, there is no funding for any kind of decent investigation. They do the best they can, but...
And these kind of tests are quite expensive, I guess.
Yes, you bet. And mostly it's speculation. They think it could have had something to do with the fact that there was no pain, maybe it was some kind of antiseptic that was put on there. Maybe it's something completely different. Nobody really seems to know.
It's so frustrating in this field, the lack of funding to examine these very strange and anomalous experiences that not just Stan Romanek, but a lot of people have had over the years.
Actually, speaking of other people who have had these experiences, Stan, I'm wondering, has your wife... She's seen these things. Has she had the experiences on the level that you've been having them?
Until we got married, it was pretty benign. She experienced a UFO. Pretty much all my friends and anybody that hung around me had sightings. My wife really didn't experience anything until we had got married and I'd moved to Nebraska, and then the whole family got involved, unfortunately. And I feel very guilty and very saddened by that fact because it is quite terrifying.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not your fault.
I understand, but yeah. It's still, if I wouldn't have gotten involved, then they wouldn't have to go through this stuff. It's interesting because I've talked to people that say, you know, I'd do anything to want to go through that. I'd do anything to get to want to meet these, whatever they are.
Yeah,
and I can't
right.
even tell you what's going on. But the people who say that really have no idea what they're talking about.
After the experiences and your wounds have had black light put on them and you discover their fluorescence, that was event one in September of 2001,
That
right?
was event one.
Okay.
And the black light and stuff came later. The next encounter I had with this blinking orb, you know, whatever this thing was, it didn't care if it was out in broad daylight. It didn't care if it was in a populated area. It didn't care who saw it. And I was invited to a kind of an amateur astronomers get together in a place called Daniels Park. It's by the foothills of the Rocky Mountain between Denver, Colorado, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you have a real good vantage point to see the city lights and to see the stars. And I had just gotten off work. It was about 9 o'clock or so, and I was just heading up to this Daniels Park. Yeah, it was dark, and the area around me as I turned onto the dirt roads was blinking red, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I thought I had my blinker on, my car, but it was blinking a real rapid rate. I didn't know what was going on. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw this thing just right above my car, and man, I just hit the gas. I must have been doing 100 miles an hour up that dirt road to try to get to where my friends were. And as I got to where my friends were, the thing abruptly turned left or west and just flew right over my friends and right over everybody in the parking lot. And there were probably about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 people there.
And not just friends, presumably, if a pack of amateur astronomers.
There were other people. There were people parked in cars up there. It's kind of a good place for, you know, neckers to go up and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched this thing follow my van up this dirt road. People were watching it, and it just flew real slowly right over everybody. It was amazing to see the reactions. A lot of people ran. Some of the people stayed there. My friend was, like, trying to flash a flashlight at this thing, and it just kind of continued slowly west.
And presumably at that point, somebody collected names and addresses and telephone numbers.
Oh, you bet. My best friend had a video camera with him, and unfortunately nobody really got much of it on camera. He did have the idea to get witness testimonies and stuff, and he sure got a lot of them.
That must have freaked out a whole new bunch of people.
Oh, you bet. You know, that was mild compared to the last time I actually saw the red blinking orb was the big one. That had a lot of witnesses because it happened right in the middle of pretty much Denver, almost a suburb of Denver called Lakewood. I had just gotten off work, and I went to the gas station. I was headed home, and, you know, Denver is a fairly big city, you know, at least 3 million people. Now, there's police helicopters, and sometimes they'll shine their light on you. I don't know if they want to scare you or whatever it is that they were doing. And I thought it was a police helicopter that decided to shine a spotlight on me. And I remember it hitting the road off to my right and then kind of swept through my van. And I rolled down my window nonchalantly and was waving up at the sky. The cars that were behind me as I went through this intersection, I noticed had stopped dead in the street. I mean, just stopped. And people are just gawking up at the sky. And as I drove to the intersection, I remember an elderly gentleman actually had his window down. His head was sticking out. His mouth was wide open. He was staring with this terrified look on his face as I went through the intersection. And I looked out my window, and there was this blinking orb again, and it actually started to accelerate away, and I was kind of upset and pissed. I mean, not so much scared, but just I wanted to know what was going on, so I chased after it, and there was a park right off to the east of me, or off to the left, and it went right over about 30 people having a birthday party for a young girl, a 10-year-old girl, and they got it on video, and they got regular cameras, and we watched this thing play around for a while. We watched it kind of hovering there, and all of a sudden it dart off to the left. I mean, you couldn't even see it. It darted so fast. You could see it on the videotape. Partly cloudy, and it was a full moon. You could see the moon in the video. And this flash of lightning, and it wasn't even lightning. There was no thunder. But every time it'd go in this cloud, there'd be this flash of lightning, and then it'd pop back out again. We watched this happen for quite a while, and I got that, and I decided to follow my friend's cue, and I got the witnesses on tape, too. And after that, the things with the birds stopped. After whatever it was being my car, the birds kind of settled down.
You're certainly collecting witnesses to all of this as the events unfold, huh?
You bet. Witnesses that have been with me when things happen, witnesses, just people I don't even know. And together, there's probably over 200 witnesses.
That in itself is remarkable, 200 witnesses to your experiences and things that seem to happen around you and because of you, for whatever the reason. At that point, the weird things that were happening with your van that caused birds to fly into it and birds to fly into windows in your general direction all stopped happening.
The part with the birds. The anomaly seemed to be electrical in nature. I have this tendency to go through a lot of light bulbs in my house. I've gone through probably 7 or 8 computers, burned out computers.
There are people like that here in Toronto, too, that I know personally, who burn out computers and burn out digital watches and burn out radios and televisions.
I can't wear a digital watch.
You don't want to let them in your house, you know?
Yeah. For whatever reason, and nobody really knows what the cause is, I've heard that people who have been hit by lightning have that same effect.
Mm-hmm. There are people who've not been hit by lightning and who've not had what might be alien encounters who also do the same thing to watches anyway. There's something to do with their magnetic polarity that tends to magnetize, well, the old wind-up watches anyway.
Sure.
Try and recap a little here. You have this dream where your sister admits 3 guys in...
It's actually a female and 2 males.
A female and 2 male. Lets them into the house, but you said it was an upstairs apartment. And she has the same dream, but neither of you discuss it until someone who's talked to both of you points out to you that she had basically a parallel dream to yours with the same,
similarity.
Almost the same circumstances.
Exactly.
And you get all of these marks over your body. Then what happens? I mean, what's the 4th incident in the fall of 2001?
That's pretty much it as far as those UFOs are concerned. What I decide to do, and this still strange things happen, MUFON does an investigation where video, the one where the thing flies over a birthday party in the park,
mm-hmm.
you can hear sirens off in the background. And there were police sirens and fire engines running hot, they called it, running at code because the sirens are going a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fairly close, probably the street right where the UFO was spotted.
Were you aware of those at the time?
Well, yeah, we were actually talking about them. Oh, I can hear sirens. Some people must have called it in, and I'm sure that's what it was. But when the investigators did the investigation, all that had been wiped completely clean. There was no record of... You can hear it plain as day
mm-hmm.
on the video, but they won't admit that they sent anybody out that time. They said nothing's happened.
So emergency services were out, the police and the ambulances and the fire trucks, presumably.
Exactly.
All headed in your general direction.
Exactly. Mm. But there's no record. There's another interesting situation where the local news channel wanted to do a piece because there were so many witnesses calling them and stuff, trying to find out if they heard anything. And so they did a piece on it, and it was supposed to air, and the time it was supposed to air, the news comes on at this particular station at 9 o'clock and is over at 10. Well, the lights went out right at 9 when this piece was supposed to air. Come to find out, this power outage took out 30,000 homes.
And the TV station?
Not the TV station, but 30,000 homes.
Isn't that interesting?
Right at 10 o'clock when the news was over, the power came back on. The really interesting part of it, though, was the center of the power outage, the exact center of the power outage was where the sighting was. And what's even weirder, when all the investigators did their investigation, the power company said, oh, it was vandalism. Somebody burnt down a wooden pole. And then later, they said, well, you can't burn down a metal pole. It wasn't a wooden pole. It was a metal tower. There was no burning down of any poles. They just won't explain what happened.
Or they can't explain it and would just as soon pretend that it didn't happen. Well, if something happened, we don't know what it is, and it's not going to happen again, we hope, and let's continue with our lives and pretend it didn't.
Yeah, and that's how it's kind of been, the nightmare of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's been all these really bizarre things. And then July 2002, I decided to go get a regression. John Schuessler, the head of MUFON, and George Zeiler, who I've become somewhat friends with now, directed me to this incredible person named Deborah Lindemann.
Ah, yes, Michael Lindemann's wife, yes.
You bet. Mm-hmm. And Michael and Deborah are awesome. She's just the sweetest person, so is Michael. And they've been a big help to our family in their panic-stricken situation.
Yeah,
and
we spent time together in Roswell in 97. Really nice people.
And she did the regression, and in the regression, oddly enough, I was given some... The way it worked is you don't really communicate with these things. They don't talk. I don't know how to explain it. I sound like I'm crazy even talking about it. When I listen to myself talk about this stuff, it's like, oh, my God, people are going to think I'm nuts.
I have to tell you, Stan, we've been doing this for 5 years, and there have been several dozen crazies on this program, okay?
I understand.
So you're not alone, and nobody, well, very few people that listen to this program with any regularity, and there are literally tens of thousands of them now, think that you're crazy. They've heard similar stories or read similar stories or seen similar stories on TV or in magazines. So you're among friends.
Part of what was communicated to me were mathematical equations of some type. You know, I'd have a thought, and instead of, I wouldn't even talk to them. I'd have a concern, and all of a sudden something would pop into my head. And it's like, oh my God, where are you guys from? And then this thing would pop, this like pictogram or chart would pop into my head. And eventually I got some mathematical equations. And after the regression, Deborah said, well, why don't you, can you write them down? I said, yes. So I wrote down lines and lines of this equation. Now, I didn't think anything of it because I have a learning disability. I'm severely dyslexic. If I'm lucky, I have a sixth grade math level, if I'm lucky. But these equations were sent to Dr. Jack Kasher.
Jack Kasher, who's been looking into the STS-48 video. Stan, we really need to break here, but we will come back and pick it up the other side of the news. Stan Romanek is our guest to www.virtuallystrange.net. Click Strange Days Indeed. Look in tonight's program grid. Click the link there. Go read and look at the images. Quite startling stuff that Stan Romanek has been through.